Bonnie, this is Winona LaDuke, and I want to talk about the mist, Into the Mist. As I drive home from Fargo towards evening, there are endless fields of farm equipment, sugar beets, potatoes, and corn. The land is flat, the horizon endless, and then there is the mist. I drive into the mist. The mist is the remaining wetlands. Sparse they are. When I get towards Gawababonicog, our territory, called White Earth, for the clay found here, the mists begin. The muskeg begins, full of medicines, life, and the filters of Mother Earth. Wetlands once covered almost 5 billion acres of North Dakota, along with buffalo wallows, the soft spots of prairie and biodiversity. In the 1980s, or by the 1980s, North Dakota had drained almost half of the wetlands, deemed useless by the industrialized agriculture. Into the mist, that's how I know I'm home. This is the story of indigenous peoples and biodiversity. It is a worldwide story, and this September marks the 10th anniversary of the passage of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. A non-binding international agreement, the declaration known as UNDRIP, represents a reversal on the treatment of indigenous peoples, a comprehensive international standard to affirm and protect the collective and individual human rights of indigenous peoples. As a young woman, I was involved in the first United Nations Forum on Indigenous Peoples. That was 1977 at the United Nations headquarters in Geneva. The UN NGO, non-governmental organization conference on indigenous peoples in the land. I was 18. I remembered fully that our rights to exist were not recognized. Indeed, I remember seeing pictures of Wayuu native people from what's today known as Venezuela hanging from trees like deer, hunted to the ground. I remember well the villages in Chiapas and the Amazon burned down to take the land of native peoples from mining and oil enterprises. And I remember that nation state after nation state stood by or participated in that theft and genocide. Indigenous peoples were viewed as internal problems of nation states, essentially the property of the state, not unlike how the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which still has oversight or trust responsibility for Native people, was originally in the Department of War and is now in the U.S. Department of Interior. Simply stated, I am not your natural resource. I belong to the Creator and to my people. So what is right? Indigenous nations include over 5,000 nations, whether Lakota, Anishinaabe, Maasai, Maori, Zuni, or Sami, who have lived for thousands of years in the same territory, possess common language, history, governing institutions, and a way of life tied to the land. For 500 years, we can safely say that we have been struggling to hold on to what we have and face daunting odds. Languages are forced from us, children removed from homes, and land taken by states like North Dakota, Minnesota, Canada, or the U.S., and our religions outlawed. Even in the U.S., after all, a country founded on religious freedom, Native religions were outlawed in the United States until the passage of the American Indian Religious Freedom Act, the latter part of the last century. And within our lands, the World Bank estimates, quote, traditional indigenous territories encompass about 22% of the world's land surface, and they coincide with areas that hold 80% of the planet's biodiversity. Also, the greatest biodiversity of indigenous peoples coincides with the world's largest tropical forest wilderness areas in the Americas, including the Amazon, Africa, and Asia. And 11% of the world forest lands are legally owned by indigenous peoples and communities. In other words, if you want to save the planet, we must be saved as well. That is why we still have the mists, because White Earth, known as the medicine chest of the Anishinaabe, has those wetlands and the biodiversity that the Creator gave us, including the wild rice. The United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People took almost 30 years to pass. I was there in the beginning, and in the presence of some of the greatest leaders I've ever seen, leaders of Lakota, Creek, Hopi, Iroquois, and so many more. I saw them as a young woman. For so many years, our people sought to have this recognition passed to protect our lands, to ensure free, prior, and informed consent as opposed to just shoving a mega project down our throats like the DAPL pipeline, and our right to exist as Indigenous peoples. The UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples was passed by the General Assembly. However, four countries did not sign: Canada, the United States, Australia, and New Zealand. It's so strange, because those four countries always talk about other people's human rights. The US finally agreed to UNDRIP, the last one to come to the table under the Obama administration. So here I am 40 years later, and I'm not going back, and I don't think any of us should. I think that what Minnesota and North Dakota need to do is to take a hard look at how they want to be remembered in the future. As the states which took more from Indigenous peoples, cut our services, put us in jail, took more lands or more children, and arrested us for hunting to feed our families. Or the states that decided that abiding by an international standard of human rights is the right thing to do. Elsewhere on a worldwide scale, Native peoples are managing vast territories, including national parks and wildlife preserves. So I really cannot see why we cannot manage the Badlands, Tamarack Refuge, or Itasca Park. After all, if anyone is a steward for biodiversity, it is our people, and that is our land, our akin. I live in the mist. I return always a geographic place and a place of my ancestors from long ago. Indakin Amin, our land. Miigwech, this is Winona LaDuke talking about the mist.